listening to Dismissed, an international school SUVA podcast series. Welcome to DNA TCK, a very special series where we bring together third culture kids to discuss the unique experiences that they have growing up internationally. Are you all laughing at my podcasting voice? Hey, you have to bring a lot of energy. So I am joined by four third culture kids today from varying parts of the world and cultural backgrounds. For those of you who may be listening to DNA TCK for the first time, TCK stands for Third Culture Kid, and this is a young person who has spent any portion of their developmental years in a country outside of their passport country or their parents' home culture. I am one, these students are ones, and I'm very excited to have them join me today in this discussion that we are having about moving internationally. So we're gonna go around, they're gonna introduce themselves briefly. If you guys can share your name, where your passport country is or where you're from, as well as any countries that you have lived in, including Fiji. All right, so we'll start right here.
Hi, my name is Nia, and I'm from China, and I live in Africa, Kenya, Uganda, and Gaborone, and America, and Fiji, and Thailand.
Hi, I'm Elijah. I've lived in 5 countries. My passport country is the United States of America, and the countries I've lived in are Lebanon, United States, Mauritania, Nepal, and...
Hello, I'm Adam, and I'm from Singapore. So, I've been to Hong Kong and Fiji and America.
Hello, my name is Alice. My passport countries are France and England, but I've lived in Kyrgyzstan, Kenya, France, Switzerland, and Fiji.
Beautiful. Let's talk about moving internationally, because lots of people move in their lives, new houses, new towns, maybe new states or provinces or counties, but it is a very unique experience to move to a new country. So I want to talk about when you guys think about your international moves, what are some of the things that a lot of people may not realize about moving internationally? Elijah, would you like to start?
Well, I started moving since I was really young. So I've kind of gotten used to it since I've moved from 4 different countries. This is my 5th. So I started, the first one I remember was when I was 7, moving to Mauritania from Florida. And I didn't really understand it back then, but then now that I'm starting to understand, it's getting a little harder because I've moved 3 times since then. And now I've started to get used to it and it's more normal and natural for me. So some people, like, if it's their first time moving after like 15 years or something, it's a little harder. But for me, I've moved a lot of times, so it's more natural.
So I've moved a lot for like a very, very long time. I think the first time I've ever moved was when I was 4 years old, from Kyrgyzstan to Kenya. Like Elijah, I didn't really know what was happening back then, but I knew that I was going to lose my friends and everyone that I knew. And even though I'm used to it now, it'll always be like a surprise when you have to know new people, get to know everyone around you, go to a new school.
Just like Elijah and Alice, the first time I moved when I was really young, and I don't think I knew what was happening. I never even properly said goodbye to my friends because I didn't understand what moving meant. And I feel really sad now because it would probably also not make sense to them that I was there one day and not there the other. But now I understand what's going on and it's harder. And even though I'm used to it, I still cry.
Adam, what do you think is the hardest part about an international move?
The hardest part is going on the airplane. It is so boring. And sometimes you get a headache on the airplane. And you couldn't help it because it's just a little space. And you couldn't move around. Like, you can only sleep on the airplane chair. Yeah.
What's the longest flight you guys have done? For a move. Not just for like a visit, like for a move.
For a move, it's probably from Switzerland to Fiji.
Like how long was that?
I think it was like 11-hour flight from here to LA.
Yeah.
From LA to England, probably 10 hours or so. So that's pretty long. And then we had to do like 2 hours from France to England. And then plus the shipment and all was really hard to bring over and all the papers work.
That's like over a day of just straight travel.
And then jet lag.
And jet
really
lag.
Hard.
Jet lag? It's so hard to explain jet lag. I feel like people think they understand it. But it's like genuinely, I have like first weeks in countries where I'm like, I have no memories of that first week because I was just walking around like a zombie and didn't know. So we should come back to packages and shipments, because I think we use that and we're all like, oh yeah, shipping stuff, and like it's very normal, but a lot of people don't understand what that's like. But what about the rest of you, longest flights?
My longest flight was probably also from Thailand to Fiji, and it took over one day because we had to keep on switching flights.
Yeah,
I think the longest flight time or traveling time I've ever been on for moving was from Nepal to Fiji. Actually, we had to go to America for a few months, but from the US, we went to Qatar.
Qatar Airways is a great airline, though.
Yeah, it is.
They're like really nice to fly with.
I don't really remember what happened because I was so tired during traveling, but I think it was over 40 hours of traveling.
Wow, yeah.
The longest travel I had was from Hong Kong to America. It took like 13 hours.
Yeah.
Like just like
one flight.
Like we went over Russia, like it was nighttime. I was still like little back then, like, and then I was like, yeah, I've been to Russia.
And then I actually really like flying on planes, but that's because I sleep really well on planes, but I think it's because I've done it so much since I was a kid. But I know that that's not the case for everyone. I just did it so often that I actually like get in the airplane, and once the engines turn on, it's like a drug. It just like makes me pass out. So let's talk about, what do you bring? Shipments, paperwork, passport. How many passport photos have we taken over the years? Probably far too many. Probably the only people that take more photos like of our faces are people who go to jail for their mugshots.
Or models,
yeah. Okay, that's much more positive. So what kind of things are like must brings for you or your family?
Well, the most important thing to bring is yourself and your family.
Wow, you guys are really helping this conversation. Oh, pets is a hard one. Sometimes pets get to come, but my pets always got left behind, and it's really sad. I've always had to leave my pets behind because certain countries you can't bring them, certain countries it's not good for that particular breed.
For me, we had to bring Max, my chocolate Labrador, from from France all the way to Fiji. Well, in the beginning we thought we weren't going to be able to bring him because, you know, all of the paperwork and all, and we tried so many different companies to help him.
Yeah.
Except they'd all say, oh no, because it was during COVID too. Mm. Like, oh no, this isn't going to work, sorry. And like after months and months, he finally arrived, and then 2 weeks of quarantine for him. And so it was like 2 hours away from where we live now.
Every time I move, I get a suitcase. And if it can't fit in the suitcase, I can't bring it.
So you get one suitcase for whatever you want to bring.
Yes. Some stuff are obviously clothes and like special things.
Yep.
That make me myself, like my favorite doll, my favorite... My lucky charm, my diary.
I have a stuffed animal dog. It's from this like old movie. You guys would say it's an old movie called Beethoven, about this Saint Bernard. Anyway, when I was 5 years old, I got a Beethoven stuffed animal. Beethoven has been to every country that I've been in, so he always has to come with me. Even now, as an adult living overseas, I'm like, Beethoven has to come. I'm moving to a new country. Yeah, he has to come.
Well, I think one of the main things, of course, is like clothes. You bring most of your clothes. And then depending on your parents, they want to, you make, like you have a shipment and you try and bring whatever you really need. So when we were in France, we knew a friend that was here in Fiji who said, my dad took his job. So he said, don't bring any furniture or anything, don't worry. All the houses are furnished here. So we came here and there was like no house that was furnished and then no house at all. So we were like trying to buy so many things and now our house is furnished, but it took a very long time.
Yeah, because some people will bring all their own furniture, but it's just, again, it's expensive and it takes time. I'll never forget like our family moving. It was like 3 months after we started living somewhere by the time the shipment came. So anything you needed, you had to make sure you didn't need it right then because you don't know how long those shipments are going to take. And sometimes stuff is damaged or goes missing. That's the hardest part.
I've always brought my foam swords so my brother and I can fight each other.
Excellent. And those are light. Yeah. Don't take up too much weight.
Yeah. Then I always bring my Nerf guns. And a lot of my Legos, mostly.
Really? Those are heavy.
Yeah.
Do you have Star Wars Legos?
I have so many Legos. Like,
one really, really important and essential thing to bring that, like, kids may not realize is essential because they're busy with other stuff is your passport. You cannot move without a passport.
Yeah, and going through customs, and man, you never know how long it's going to take to go through customs in a given country, and there's so many, it's not just the passport, it's all the documents with the passport.
Well, one time, this is when my family, well, I don't really know what happened, but we didn't realize how long it would take the custom in LA.
Yeah.
And so we arrived there, and it was just for, it wasn't really, like, it was just visiting, I think.
A layover.
Yeah, it was a layover, and so we went there. And we entered the thing, and we had like 2 hours until our next flight. Except it took 1 hour and a half just to go through custom. So we were like rushing everywhere.
And then you still have to check your bags in and go through security.
Exactly.
Did you make it?
Yeah, we made it because we asked all the ladies to pass through the lines and all, but it was really hard.
So one time, customs took us. Wait, just to make sure. Customs is like they check your passports.
Yeah.
Custom took us 3 to 4 hours. Like they were just like.
What country was that in?
Back to Hong Kong, like, and then, like, we went back to Singapore.
Yeah.
So, like, that took us, like, 3 to 4 hours. We almost missed our flight. Like, they were just, like, talking, so they told us to wait. We just sat there, they were, like, talking for some reason, and then they let us go. It's been, like, 3 to 4 hours just waiting there.
You have to get medical checkups. Sometimes moving to certain countries, you have to get, like, shots or immunizations. For Africa a lot, like, malaria medication and all sorts of other dengue fever, all that kind of thing. That's always dramatic. When you arrive in a new country, what makes you feel settled, which I'm sure some of it takes time, but like when you arrive in a new country after just moving to a new country, what do you guys look to kind of feel like this is your new home?
For me, maybe like I look to like exploring because I want to know what you can do when you just move there. And like, I kind of look forward to visiting the school because, like, that's where all my friends would be.
Oh, yeah, learning about your new school. That's a big deal.
For me, to feel settled down, like, we would get, like, a stable home, like, with furniture and, like, stuff, like, with internet, and then
that is a good one, like, getting a new internet.
And then getting a new school, getting a vehicle. Yeah, that'll make me, like, feel settled.
I think it's once we get, like, our first friends that are actually, like, adventurous and will do stuff.
Mm.
They will show us new things to do. And once we have a few activities that we can do during weekends and stuff, I think that's when we feel most settled.
Yeah, well, the same as everyone, but one of the main things, if it's in my house, well, first, yeah, if it's in my, like, in my room, is to have most of my things, my belongings, and, like, books and things, like, just so that I know that I still have everything that I want in my room and that I'll still feel at home wherever I go. And then, like, having the same things I've traveled with me everywhere. And then also probably, like, having a big garden is one of the main things for me. Like, I had a small one in Switzerland, but, like, it was still big enough, you know, just to play around with my brother or animals or anything. Because, like, that's a place where even if you don't have anyone with you, you can still do things in there. Like, yeah.
Settling into a new house, new friends, new routine, new school, all those things I think put together help us settle. But some of it just takes time. it doesn't happen overnight. Good. Well, thank you guys for coming on today and talking about moving internationally. I'm sure there's lots more that we could talk about, which is why we're making this a two-parter, and we'll bring in some other TCKs tomorrow to record a second part of this. But thanks for coming on, and we look forward to having you all back on the podcast. So thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Bye, muchachos!